Hello, my friends, and welcome back. We are on to our second movie review of 2026. You may be thinking, wait, she looks the same as she did yesterday. Well, that's because I'm like, okay, should I wait till early in the morning tomorrow to record this? Or since I've got it still fresh in my brain, should I just sit down and record it yet today? So I'm recording this a few hours early here. But I wanted to go ahead and get this one up. Like I said, it's still fresh in my brain. It's fresh in my memory. So I just wanted to kind of jump in with this. But we are talking about Avatar Fire and Ash. Now, if you want to check out the first Avatar review, you want to go check out this past Wednesday. And then Avatar The Way of Water was yesterday. And then, of course, today is Avatar Fire and Ash, the new one that's in the theaters. And this is a review that you are not going to want to miss. Now, why is that? This is because we are going to be covering a lot of information in this today. Now, if you are a fan of the Avatar series, I need to let you know right up front, the Avatar, the first one I gave it a guarded innocent rating. The second one I gave an innocent rating. Okay, there's some language and stuff in both of them, but the third Avatar, this one, Avatar Fire and Ash, I am giving a guilty rating. So that might surprise some of you. But this one is a lot darker. It's a lot more intense. There's a lot more happening. It's also a lot more political. Now, why? I would love to sit down with James Cameron and pick his brain as to the what, where, and why. One of the things I've always held true in my thought process, long even before I got into these reviews with Movie Deputy, was because the first one came out in 2009. I didn't start Deputy until 2014. But it was how visually stunning these movies are and the level of the graphics and the level of intensity with everything going on screen. And then I watched Avatar, and then I watched Avatar The Way of Water, which honestly I'd never seen until just a couple weeks ago. I don't know why I'd never gotten around to watching it. I just never did. But then, so it sets you up. You get used to this just expansive intensity of what you're seeing going on the screen, and that just kind of becomes a part of it with all of that, and you're just drawn into that. And then we got to Fire and Ash, and this one was filmed with a high frame rate, and it's designed for IMAX, and it's designed for all of this other stuff that's going on, and I don't know what happened. Not on my end, but in the movie, because you've got scenes where it is just stunning, and then you've got other scenes where you're almost borderline motion sick because it's so out of focus or blurry, and it's like they went back to pre-2009 Avatar graphics for part of this. I've seen better graphics in Call of Duty, parts of Call of Duty than I have in pieces of this movie. Now, mind you, as a whole, the graphics are still fabulous in this movie, but it's not consistent beginning to end. There are parts of this and you're just going, what? Why? How? No. And with taking the story this much further, with taking the story this much more political, taking the story this much more outside of the depths. Now, mind you, I know a lot of stuff is going on politically and just all around the world and everything. And a lot of Hollywood is upset that the way of the current administration stuff. And I think this was almost a little bit of a fight back of them going, we're big in Hollywood. We're going to make our feelings known. And in doing so, they lost the magic. They really lost the magic of Pandora. A story like this is, I mean, it has merit, but it puts an entirely different light on Pandora. It puts an entirely different light on the Na'vi, and it puts an entirely different light on the Sky People. I mean, here you're dealing with a much darker timeline. You're dealing with war, a full blown out war between the Na'vi and the Sky People. And there's death and there's all of this other brutality that you would not expect. And there's all of this politics stuff. Now, before we get into the trailer, which I know that's one of the first things I usually jump in doing here, but I'm going to share with you, as I was watching the movie, and I saw this in the theater like everybody else, and I saw one of the high frame rate things. I did not do the 3D because with having existing glasses on, if you wear glasses, you understand. Even with the new special glasses that fit over your glasses, it still just kind of messes with your vision a little bit. And considering I take notes on my phone as I'm watching the movie, now I want to share this. This right here, all of this is made the notes that I took during this movie. And if you are just listening to our podcast, I want to encourage you to come on over to check out the video, because we cover stuff in the video visually that I can't necessarily express just purely in words. And I want to share with you, before, like I said, before I even get into the trailer, and I've shared with you that I'm giving this a guilty rating, but I'm going to share with you the things that popped out to me as very poignant, the things that were so obvious I had to make a note of them. Now, like I said, I take the notes during the movie. I turn my phone to the lowest brightness level so it doesn't affect anybody, and it's a black screen and light gray lettering, so I do my best not to ever be disruptive, and I sit in a certain place so I don't be disruptive to people that way too. But these are notes that I took during the movie, that the movie is anti-military, anti-gun. There's racist innuendos. It deals with there's a scene that has to deal with suicide. The whole thing of hating anything different than what you're used to. There's very strong feminist symbolism in one scene in the movie that just kind of like, oh wow, that did not need to be in there. There's a psychedelic drug scene. It's like almost like an anti-god, anti-deity feeling. There's stuff that's borderline satanic. There's other things that's a borderline biblical reference, like the story of Abraham. There was a reference to something there. And then it has to deal with the very idea of wailing, only not in the traditional sense. And so those are notes that I took, just references that I did not want to forget to mention. And in the other ones I've like mentioned, that was like a little bit Jurassic Park, a little bit of Titanic, a little bit of this, a little bit of that. This doesn't really feel so much like another movie. There's bits and pieces that feel almost like other movies. There's definitely some Titanic references in this one too. But the politics in this one are just so in your face forward. And the story is so much more intense. It's like, did they go too far? It's like, I understand the natural progression of this story with the Na'vi and the Sky People. But where this goes is almost too much. And like I said, I don't know where they went wrong with some of the graphics, because it just, instead of being in awe, just awestruck, it's almost, I mean, if I wasn't a critic and taking notes and so much, I would have been almost messing with my phone for parts of this movie. And glancing around the theater, I was in a screen that had probably close to 100 seats, and maybe I'd say close to 20% of the other moviegoers were, at one time or another during the movie, they were messing around with their phones. So that says a lot right there. So let's jump over and I want to share the trailer with you, and then we're going to talk about the movie some more. So hang tight with me here. Hopefully I got this loaded correctly here. Yep, here we go.
The strength of the ancestors is here.
Live like this, baby. In hate.
I said this one goes so much darker, and that scene that you just heard where Jake is telling Neytiri that she cannot live like this in hate. The dynamics between not only the Na'vi and the Sky People, but the Na'vi and themselves is, like I said, it goes a lot darker than you might expect.
If there's something you can do, then you must do it.
Do
find another way. Your goddess has no dominion here.
And that's kind of where I get into the fact that this is like so dark compared to like what we've seen in the other ones. I mean, go back to the first Avatar and where Jake kills the creature and Neytiri is just so scarred because everything is so sacred, to the evolution from that to this, where there is this hatred and this just this raw brutality that, okay, if the other movies had been where there was like a build up to this, where it kind of just went in stages, but it seemed like just a little bit, and then it went from like this to this. It just blew up, and it's tough choices. There is no moral compass anymore. There's just all these gray areas. You've got anger, you've got power, you've got all of these different things that are fighting for these people. I mean, head to head with the people, with the land people and the sky people and the water people all together. And it's not just about good versus bad. It's so much deeper than that. And that the story by itself can be commendable, but working it into the Avatar thing and then working all of the politics into it that were here, it was just a distraction. They were trying so hard to put the politics into this one that they lost some of the magic of the story. Now, I'm sure that was their meaning of not losing part of the story, but making sure that they got the jabs in for certain political things that they wanted to put out there. And I'm going to have a lot of people really mad at me about this review, but so be it. I'm hoping that I can shed a light on this, that maybe some people might go, that's what felt off about this movie. I was having a discussion at the theater after I watched this with some people, and they're like, yeah, something just felt off about it. That was like a direct quote from somebody that, you know, something just felt off about this. I'm like, exactly, because we're used to the story and we've seen where the story has gone thus far. We see where we're at now. And then with the graphics being off, I'm using like air quotes with that. It was just different. I mean, and I'm used to like kind of the whole fast action thing as they're on the banshees and they're flying, and now they're on these flying fish and other creatures, and then these weird sky ships that are pulled by jellyfish. If you can't quite fathom what I'm talking about, feel free to check out the poster here and come on over to our YouTube channel and check out where I just shared the trailer, because you can actually see these flying ships that are pulled by jellyfish. They're not actually jellyfish, but that's probably the closest way I can come with to describe them. Now, like I said, it's not the peaceful society that you think, where the sky people are trying to come in and take advantage. There's no mention anymore about the unobtainium. And then all of a sudden there's this huge base on Pandora, whereas this one picks up almost shortly right after the last movie. And there's all of these changes to Pandora that just don't fit the timeline either. It's like, there's no way that this has happened in a matter of weeks. I don't know what they did. I don't know why they did it. I mean, I understand what and why, but I don't understand what and why. And so I think a lot of people that see this one, if you are in that political mindset where you're upset with a lot of the things going on right now, I'm not going to say you're wrong on that, because there are things I'm still upset about, but I also appreciate the leadership of our country at the moment, and I can see the direction that he's trying to take it in. But trying to show your opposition in a billion-dollar movie, I mean, this is like the third billion-dollar Avatar in a row. And he, like I said, he's talking about two more after this. And I'm just thinking, each one of these is like 3 hours long. This one's 3 hours and 15 minutes. And it was too long. Definitely too long on this one because of just everything that's in there. And then there was definitely filler content, which was just was like, okay, what's the point of putting this here? There's pieces of the story that don't add to the story. They don't necessarily even make a statement in the story. It's just content. And I'm like, and your point is? And so my whole thing with interrogating movies for plot and content, the plot just, it just doesn't do it in this one. And then, like I said, with all the political innuendo, for 2/3 of this movie, I honestly thought I was going to be in the threes. I was thinking low threes. Low threes. Just because it's just so in your face with everything. And unnecessarily so. It's just a distraction to itself. But there are parts of this that... there's hope of where they could take this. Gives the building blocks that there could still be more. Like we said, we know there's 2 other movies coming yet. And so I appreciate the complex family dynamics. I appreciate the evolution of the family. I appreciate the evolution of how the Na'vi interact with Pandora and how they're learning to survive in a time when things are more difficult. So I can appreciate that. But just some of the other topics that are addressed are just more than it needs to be, to the point of being a distraction. So, score-wise, I'm going to surprise a lot of you here. So, I just bear with me here. I am giving Avatar Fire and Ash just a 5 out of 10 on the Deputy scale. And I was in the 4s. I mean, even with the better scenes and stuff, I was in the 4s. But I'm like, a 4 means watchable but forgettable. A 5 is decent story, significant flaws. And that is right where I'm at with this, because the flaws of the innuendos and all of this content that was made to be political intentionally, just, it didn't feel like Avatar. I mean, yes, we're in Pandora. Yes, we're watching the Na'vi. Yes, we're doing all of this, but this one is almost visually and story-wise, it's definitely the weakest of the 3 thus far. If you are getting ready to go see this, I just wanted to try to prepare you that this is not going to be the movie you expect, unless that's what you're going in expecting. If you're going in expecting James Cameron to make a political statement in the form of the movie, and you're going in expecting a war between not only the Na'vi and the Sky People, but almost between the Na'vi and other Na'vi, and how this all plays out, and... I wanted so much to want to like this movie. I appreciated the premise. And then watching it, and I'm just going, I was so disappointed with the graphics and then with the direction that it went in. A 5 is the best I could do. So, again, I hope this helps. If you have not seen this yet, I hope at least you go in with guarded expectations. If you have seen this already, I would love to know your feedback on what my opinion of this movie is. So I look forward to hearing back from you. As always, I hope you subscribe and turn on that little notification button, whether you are on Spotify or Amazon Music or Apple Music, which I still catch myself saying iTunes, or like any other platform, iHeartRadio, wherever you are listening to these podcasts at. You want to be sure and subscribe and turn on those notifications, because you don't want to miss a minute of these reviews. I don't promise that they're going to be easy. I don't sugarcoat it. I interrogate the movies for their plot and their content from a conservative point of view. So if that is beneficial to you, I am happy. If I upset you, you know, that's part of life. I deal with stuff that upsets me all the time too, but it's life. It's not supposed to make us feel good. We're supposed to take our experiences and learn from them. But I hope that this will help along the way. And I will be back on Monday with another movie for you. Which one will it be? You'll have to wait and see. Bye!